No, it was a remarkable weekend for Kerry football. Three Kerry teams in action against three Cork teams at the junior, intermediate and senior club championship level, and wins for all three Kerry clubs, becoming Munster champions over the weekend. Shortly before coming in here, I spoke to Tim Moynihan, who covered two of those games for Radio Kerry, on Gaeltacht winning the intermediate and Dingle Dangany Coosh winning the Munster club senior against St Finbarr's of Cork yesterday in Semple Stadium. And I first of all asked him, said to him, we'll have to go to the end of the game, and the controversial enough decision that was made to award a free, it was brought 50 yards forward, and that allowed Conor Ganey win the game with an amazing two-pointer for Dingle.
Yeah, Jerry, you know, right through, as we'd speak about, it was an entertaining game, but right down to the last play, you could say, a free out by Dingle, and I suppose the interpretation, some referees, you know, it's very difficult for a player to go tap and go then to gain that momentum and get into, I suppose, the attacking half of the field. And, you know, I suppose Sam Finbarr's will question maybe the player didn't get enough time to get out of the way or whatever. But suddenly the ball was moved further up the field, and what a pressure kick, Jerry, for Conor Ganey. Perfect for a left-footed kicker of the ball. It was kind of slightly to the right of the arc, and you know, he was close to the 45. And I was speaking to him after, Jerry, Conor, about it, like what went through his mind at that particular. He said he treated it like any other free, but he said he thought there'd be a lot more pressure on him if it was closer to goal, because the expectation would be to go over the bar. And he just looked. He said he does what he does at training, does in any other game, and popped it. You can offset that then, Jerry. I know I'm going to go back in the, you know, midway through that second half, where there was a St Finbarr's player fouled inside the 21-metre line, and Stephen Sherlock was allowed to bring the ball out and kick a two-pointer. My understanding of the rule, I stand corrected, maybe, is that you can bring it out and take on a two-pointer. So if you were to pin on different little decisions, there were, I suppose, to decide what the outcome of the game was, you could be picky on that as well, because the rule is, if it's inside the 21, you have to take the free from there. You're not allowed to upgrade it to a two-point shot. So that happened midway through the half as well. But look, it's a very questionable decision if you're saying a player doesn't move out of the way and the next thing's move forward. And at other times, players are right on your case and you try solo past them. So it's a rule, it's a grey area, but on the same token, Dingle will take it all day, Jerry.
Yeah, and particularly, Tim, when you look at what happened to them 2 years ago, downpours of rain, a game that possibly shouldn't even have been played on that day, they lose on penalties. So they've been here before. And all throughout the last couple of years, really, I remember in senior club finals, this year again, in the county championship, they've been in these last minute situations and they always seem to pull it out of the bag.
Yeah, and I suppose you build character by doing that as well. But, Jerry, it's probably, it was the game of the weekend, but it also, you could talk about a million things in that game. You know, the shooting of Stephen Sherlock. You know, he kicked something like, it was 16.7 from play. And during the course of the commentary, you know, myself and Ambrose were saying, why can't they put Tom on him? Tom is your county player, recognised man marker. And post-match then, I've listened and watched an interview by Mark O'Connor, and he was asked that question, why wasn't Tom putting a man that was causing huge problems? He had 5 two-pointers in the first half, and his answer was, he said, Tom is needed for a lot of things around the field, probably running the attack. And that there was his answer, and there's an understanding on that Dingle camp that we can't, the way that forwards play now, that with the tree up, that is it, I suppose, prevent him from going forward, and that is Tom's game. So, but he did massive damage. But it also, when you look back in the game, Jerry, St Finbarr's are very dependent on Sherlock. If you look at the spread of the score on the Dingle side, the spread is a lot greater. So he's their go-to man, and I suppose he was hero stroke villain, in the sense he had an opportunity to put the game, another bit of daylight between Dingle, and he kicked the ball wide, another ball fell short. So many things in that game. I thought Brian Hayes and likewise Ian Maguire were outstanding in the middle of the field. They give it in buckets to the likes of the Mark O'Connors of this world. But on the same token, I thought Dingle worked the kickouts. They win 39-40% of the kickouts from St. Finbar. So what they put three around the D, forced them to go long and got bodies, and I think they got 3 or 4 points out of it. So it was intriguing. And when you look back and more on the game, you'd say, my God, Dingle did very well at times where you'd say the game could be out of sight, you know, 5 points ahead. And always when Dingle kind of came back, they took it out to 3, 4, 5 points against St. Finbar's. But 2-pointers, and Dylan Ganey, Jory, was outstanding in the second half, especially with Paul Ganey off the field.
Yeah.
They needed a leader, and he gave it in buckets as well. He was outstanding.
How important, Tim, was the Paul Ganey goal when things were not going well for Dingle? There were 8 points to four down. It wasn't going as they'd hoped. And all of a sudden, he gets the ball far out and just skins his man and buries it just to keep them in touch.
Yeah, Sam Ryan, he took him on. Yeah, you see, that's the player he is. Like, and you know, when I'd say your man has many years' advantage on him, the more youthful man, but the experience, and he's just such a talented player. You know, he went left, went right, saw the dummies, and then left him in his wake. But he had a lot to do to, you know, to hit the back of the net, and that's what he did. That was huge, huge score. I would say, and we said it during commentary as well, that why wouldn't they give more ball to Paul? Because if you're burning a back inside, you want ball. And his confidence was so high, but it was slow. Dingle went lateral a lot of the times. But, you know, I suppose all the headlines this morning be grabbed about Conor Ganey's, you know, late kick for a 2-pointer that sends him into the All-Ireland series and make him Munster champions. But I thought a defining moment, Jerry, in the second half was Matthew Flaherty. He covered every blade of grass for Dingle. He's way up there as far as intensity is concerned, but he had a turnover inside the 45 and Dingle went up and popped a point out of it. And their momentum shifted again to the Dingle way because St. Finbar's warring in control. So small things can be defining moments, like small things can get you over the line. And I thought that was a huge factor as well. And Dylan Ganey had a massive turnover over the stand side where we had supporters. And that was huge as well. That can inspire a team. And you could see it in the body language again last night when I watched it back that, you know, they were, you know, determined not to lose it and give themselves an opportunity. And the one thing, you have to have forwards and you have to have a spread of forwards. They can kick from the left of the D, the right of the D, as they proved. And today they're Munster senior club champions.
Yeah, they certainly are. And that is a testament to them and what they've done. We'll talk about what might be happening in the semi-final against Ballyboden. But I want to talk about the Gaeltachts as well, Tim. And like their performance, I mean, they're second intermediate in 8 years. Very strong showing, a 7-point victory for them in Rathkeel.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant performance again. And again, the Cork side of things won't be happy in the sense there. Again, they come out with a loss. I'm grateful they're strong, Jerry. They're strong. Their backs are so determined. I know he saw the line at the end of the game, but Cian Murucu inside it, right corner back, was absolutely outstanding. They have serious players around the field, Aidan Walsh and Carlo Bjorklee in the middle of the park. As, you know, you have to have, the game has gone back to midfielders, Jerry, and you, as we seen yesterday, you have to need guys to win primary possession, and that's what they're capable of doing. And then you have the little county player, the county player that's clever in his decision making, calms things down, you know, put the pedal to the metal when he needs to. Bruno Bjorklee was outstanding. The one thing they have with the likes of Tomás O'Shea inside a corner forward or full forward, there's only one thing on the Gaeltachts' mind when they get a ball. They don't go out to the car park. They don't go to the corner flag. They go for goal. And that's what caused huge problems for the defence of Abhaloog. And, you know, they were worthy winners. And I think of all the teams we were saying at the start of, you know, after winning their club championship in Kerry, you'd say that on Gaeltachts are well equipped because they're basically a senior team playing intermediate competition because they're going to go senior. They are senior now, but they've got, as they've proved in the West Kerry Championship, they've beaten Dingle. They're a match for any senior club side in the county. And, you know, it's winter football as well. And I hope you don't mind me saying it, but Aidan Walsh thrives in this sort of territory. Strong physical player, versatile, driving forward. So, you know, they can go with a serious degree of confidence into the All-Ireland series. And, you know, January is going to be, hopefully it'll be weather permitting, but January is going to be one busy month in the All-Ireland series.
Yeah, it certainly is, Tim. And look, when you think about that, that's also on the offing for Ballymac after their performance on Saturday. Again, a very strong performance by them and winning a junior title, making it, I suppose, that was the first of the three of the weekend. But a very strong team, a team that are equipped, and they've been through their tough times in trying to win the junior in Kerry, and it's kind of steeled them for what they'll need.
Yeah, and all this kind of sounds like, Jory, that you have to, I suppose, suffer a fair degree of hurt to get yourself. You can either turn your back and walk away, or you can go back in. And that's what Ballymacallaghan did. But Ballymacallaghan have a huge a balance of both youth and experience in Breen Watt, a servant both to Ballymac and the St. Kieran's, the divisional side. And likewise, the youth, young Joy coming up, and Tyke Brickett, centre back, Donald Daly in the forwards. I wasn't at the game because we were on our way to Raqqi, but I was listening to the lads on commentary. But a second half display, they were ruthless in their putting away of Buttevant. And, you know, they can again look forward to, and they're learning all the time. Even we covered the previous game, myself and Ambrose, and they were a bit, you know, kicking ball short into keepers' hands. And you're going to learn at this level, you have to be ruthless. And I think in Blake did massive work in the 2 weeks waiting for his Munster final. They were ruthless, especially in the second half, quite close in the first half. And again, excuse me, they can start off and start believing now. And that's the thing, to be kings in your own province first, Jory, and then a carrot dangled that, you know, the opportunity to go to Croke Park. So, you know, all is good. You have to embrace these moments as well, Jory. It doesn't happen every other year for Kerry teams. So to have a clean whitewash as far as Cork was concerned, but as far as Kerry's concerned, that it'll keep people busy over Christmas thinking what can happen in 2026. So it's absolutely brilliant for everything in Kerry football.
Tim, are there questions, as there always will be, about the dominance of Kerry in these Munster club competitions, and the fact that we are, particularly when it comes to Cork, there's a mismatch in terms of the championship? Is that a factor here? Does that need to be acknowledged?
Yeah, but you know, Jory, like, you can say the same, and that's not me getting stuck into Cork, but like in colleges as well, Jory, it's the same thing. There's a great dominance that you could have 6 out of 8 teams in quarterfinals, you know, in the Corny Vera, you know. I think you can't blame Kerry. Kerry have a structure in place, and it's up to other counties to do the same. You know, these are the levels we play in, and it's worked in abundance, I suppose, since the feature of opening Croke Park. But it's like everyone else. If you paint your house and the fella next door doesn't paint it, it's up to him to paint it. And the, you know, you have to put a structure and a system in place, and it really works. And this is not me being carrying the Kerry hat in any way, but it's like anything else. There's a template in Kerry. Nobody in Kerry is stopping any other county having the same template. It's just the Kerry have it, and the standard of football in Kerry, even down at junior, not junior premier, but junior level in Kerry, is very strong. They could probably compete with many other counties at junior premier level. So there's going to be a blame game. It's wrong in Kerry. What do you do to Kerry? Put lead in their boots? All I'm saying is that there's a structure in place, and it's up to other counties to follow the template. Kerry never stopped any other county of, you know, designing their own championships, designing their own league. So I think it's up to other counties to come follow, and it's just the structure is in place. And I know you'll say over the last number of years we had probably teams out of Division 1 competing in the Junior Premier with Glenbeg, Glencar. But that was the way that the rankings were, because we had teams above them that were playing intermediate and plain senior. So it's just for other counties to get their houses in order, Jory.
Yeah, and the point is that Kerry are using a system. They found a system. It's working for them at level. It's giving clubs and players that exposure of playing in All-Ireland semi-finals, on All-Ireland finals. There's a carrot there of Croke Park, and everyone wants to go for it. So it's we can only control what you can control within your own county, and the county board have got that right when it comes to the club competitions.
And Jerry, most of the complaints will probably come out of Munster anyway. But when you reach an All-Ireland semi-final, if you're playing a team for the North, there's a huge leveller then, you know, because they must be doing things in the right. When I say North, the Ulster province, if you're playing a team from there, you know, there's a huge leveller, because there's, you know, the game could go either way. So it's up to the other counties and other provinces, you know, as I said, to have a serious look at their structure. And Cork must be hurting at the moment, because the structure and system they have is not working, and even feeder in for the county team as well in Cork, because Cork, we love to have Cork at a competitive edge with us, because it brings on teams in Kerry, it brings on our county team as well. And you know, you have to, you serious look at, and serious decisions have to be made.
Yeah, and I find there will be tough battles now, semi-finals and finals, if they make them, for all three, starting like Ballyboden's in this with Dingle in the first week of January.
Yeah, serious players by Ballyboden, Jerry. And you know, the big thing now, Jerry, he went through a lot of ball yesterday, Mark O'Connor. That's a huge loss for Dingle going forward. I think, to the best of my knowledge, somebody mentioned last night that he was going back, traveling back to Australia tomorrow. I wonder, will there be a further request come January? Because I've often met Mark during Christmas time back in Dingle. Will he be allowed that time? But I think he has a lot of requests put in so far to even play yesterday. So, do you know who's hugely missed now, Jerry, at this stage? When the going gets rough, and the tough get going, Barry Dan is a huge loss now to Dingle.
The fact that they've done it without him, Tim, as well, is a testament.
Yeah, and I suppose Mark was kind of the replacement in a different way. He's a different style of footballer. But Barry Dan would thrive under the current conditions, especially this time of year. And he's a huge loss. But the one thing about Dingle, Jerry, they're very measured. Their detail now is absolutely frightening. They're a close shop. They're in their own vacuum, which we must respect. But they have the Aidan O'Shea's, the Seamus Weldon's. They have great, great heads with them now, right? And the detail they put in and the research they've done yesterday on St. Finbar's, even for that kick out alone, you'd have to compliment it. Dingle, in whatever, which I think it's early January, but they will have a serious look at Ballyboden, and they will have their own plan in place. They know how to slow down the game. It's very measured, everything they do. And that's why today they're, as I said earlier, they're Munster club champions.
Yeah. Well, Tim, listen, thanks a million. Great work over the weekend. And thanks for taking us through all that this morning.
Thank you, Jerry.